The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflection. Sound effects. Boy, that's a good start to a Friday show, isn't it?
Sure is.
That is. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life. There we go. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, hopefully, before this show is over. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use? Probably won't. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Great question. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow, at the same time, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. It's Friday, so we really just don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about that living life as a Christian thingy. So that means that we're asking questions about how this interacts with us as we are Christians. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we ask you to reach out to us. Now, for the phone calls, we'd like you to do just one phone call per show. But for the texts or the emails, you can do that as often as you want. But here is the bottom line. You probably do have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, or something that the Lord's been working on in your life, or something that you've learned, or something you're growing in, or something you're trying to figure out, or something you're just trying to scratch in your head and going, I don't get it. You're welcome to reach out to us during the show live, and we'll do our best to respond. You can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. That's when you'll call in and Terrific T will answer the phone. Do you know what it's like when Terrific T answers the phone? It's like, ready for this one? Sleeping in. Come on. I mean, is that the greatest? Sleeping in. Oh, yeah, that's nice. It's just great. And then she turns you over to me, and that's just like when the dog jumps up in the bed and wakes you up. There you go. So you can call in 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can also email. We make that available as well. You can email David at hemustincrease.org. That is the opportunity. And she's getting ready for the – she is so ready for the website. She knows how to do this show. She can probably do this show while doing other – so you could probably play Scrabble and do this show at the same time. What do you think? You think you can do that?
Checkers.
Wow. Checkers. So not so much chess, but checkers. Is that the thing? Okay. All right. Are you good at checkers? Is this a good game?
That's why I play it. Kind of trying to get better.
I'm terrible at all these games.
I can't do chess. Like, I don't know the
Well, point. I know how you can win at chess. I found out how to win at chess. People don't really realize this. I'll tell everybody, but don't say that I said this. Okay, you start the chess, right? You start the chess game, and you take your three or four biggest pieces, and you throw them at the other person. And then they run away from the board, and you won.
See? I'm going to use that. Oh, and then you can say checkmate at the end of it.
Yeah, and then you go, checkmate. That's my chess defense system. How about that? Huh? Okay. All right. In the second hour, we're going to announce the winner of our informal poll. That's right. I'm not doing it yet. But in the meantime, I do, in fact, want you to go to the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, a couple things. I do want you to go there. We do have our bumper sticker, our new bumper sticker. It's a kind of a jokey bumper sticker, but it's fun. You know, it's all right. Plus, I also put the basic mission up for the show. I think that helps people understand that what we're geared towards is education, encouragement, and entertainment. That's what we do for an hour and a half, give you a break. You can go back to getting mad after the show or before the show. And here we try to do our best just to support each other. Two things I want to bring up. One, my daughter did a really good 7+ minute Facebook post. Her name is Julie Schiller. Now, her name is actually Julianne, but, you know, laziness comes into sometimes into people's lives. And so she goes by Julie Schiller, J-U-L-I-E, Schiller, S-C-H-I-L-L-E-R. If you go onto Facebook, you can get a 7-minute update on Easton Scott. He's in the photo, and that would give you a good chance to see her and him if you ever go into Facebook. If you don't want to do that, you don't have to do that. I'm just telling you, you can do that. If you can't get access for some reason, tell me and I'll tell her. But it's a good 7-minute video. She kind of just she's going to do little videos sharing about the journey. And we've been talking about this for well over a year, especially on the relentless faith part of things. And you'll see that Easton Scott has made some really, really fantastic progress. I mean, he could not even hold up his head before. Now he can hold up his head. He can move his arms. I mean, it's just like, wow, what's going on? So that's cool stuff. Real quickly, I want to pray for the audience, and I want to include Ronnie because we haven't heard from Ronnie for a little bit, but it was really funny. Al reminded me that Ronnie had a sore ankle and was trying to figure out a job from home. I haven't heard yet from him. He did reach out to us, but didn't give us an update. So I do want to pray for him and for everybody in the audience just for things going on. So let's just take a minute and do that because that's the way we ought to do things. So let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the precious and powerful and mighty name of Jesus Christ. And in that name, Lord, we approach you, not in a worthiness issue, but in a petition, much like Esther when she petitioned the king. If it's okay with you, if it seems right to you, that's what we're asking. And we would ask you to bless Ronnie, make sure that he's all healthy and well. And we ask you to, he's trying to get a job, we know that, to work at home. We ask you to really help him in that process, to enable him to do that so that he can be more active in ministry the way he'd like to be. And we pray for Gary, our good friend. We just ask for your healing power to really touch his life. It's not easy where he's at, and we're asking you to raise him up, defy the odds, break the norm and the cycle because you're God, you're the creator of the universe, and you can. And we ask you to do that very thing. And for the people in our audience that are hurting physically, we just ask your touch. Your touch of encouragement and of healing, that they would not be discouraged and the enemy would not take advantage. And for everybody who's listening to me, who's got that financial challenge or that relational challenge or that obstacle at work, that nobody would think they're facing it by themselves, but they would understand your partnership with them, stand firm in that, and walk in faith with that, believing that you have our best interests in mind. We pray these things in the awesome and fantastic name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So I just want everybody to keep praying, keep being a part of the, you know, prayer process that we do for one another. I think that's a really important element there. Let me go into a first brief teach, and then we'll get set stuff up for Bible trivia in the next segment and so on and so forth. But this is out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Next week, I'm actually going to be teaching, I think a week from today, on how the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes are broken down from a Christian salvation point of view. I found the material from Adam Clark. I'm going to review it. But this one I want to talk about, Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And I think it's an amazing element, and we talked about it briefly, not yesterday, but the day before, on how sometimes the hardest people for us to forgive are the closest people to us. It's the weirdest thing. It's primarily because we expect more from the people that are closest to us, but the people closest to us should get the extension of the greatest amount of forgiveness without even a thought. It's easy to forgive somebody at a distance that you'll never see because it's not really true deep forgiveness because you're just giving them a pass And that's one thing. But the people that are closest to us that can accidentally or intentionally hurt us, those are people that we need to have mercy on. Now, James chapter 2, verse 13 says, mercy triumphs over judgment. It's not easy to dismiss that judgment, but it is easy to understand that in our own lives, we need God to have mercy on us and not judgment. If he judged us according to our sins, we'd be wiped out. But he has mercy instead. And what we're talking about is us functioning in that mercy with other people. Doesn't mean that you ignore sin. And I want to make sure that you understand that. That doesn't mean that you ignore sin. I just had a very good friend, academic friend, write something on homosexuality. And I supported that, the biblical position he took, because it's the biblical position. You don't ignore sin. But you don't use that as an opportunity to crush people. And that's part of the problem that the church has evolved into, is you get churches like the Marlboro Baptist Church that was petitioning and they were, you know, holding protests at funerals for Marines, and that's all the press did was cover that so they could show that Christians were just these lousy people. Okay, don't pay attention to how the media tries to portray you. Don't pay attention to how the world portrays you. Pay attention to what you do as before the Lord and nobody and nowhere else, because you live for the author. And the audience will take it in on a couple of different things. Some audience likes the movie. Some part of the audience doesn't like the movie. That's always the case. But you do it before the Lord. And you don't seek to crush people because God doesn't crush you. Instead, let mercy triumph over judgment. Be merciful. Pray for them that they might connect correctly to the Lord. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Get up! And the expression of faith and the results of that expression of faith and just responding to ignoring what they had to say, not being afraid, having just a little bit of faith, the results were astonishment that God's workings were so clearly manifest. But I will say this, and I don't have any problem saying this. Sometimes you got to just change the atmosphere. And you go, oh, that's not biblical. Jesus kicked them out because they were all naysayers. That's not a promotion of positive thinking and positive saying. It is a promotion of you're either going to have faith or if you're going to have fear, go over in the other room. Get out. Because we need people to have faith. So he clears the air. He makes this bold proclamation. She gets up and watch this. This is something that I'm telling you. I'm getting this as I'm telling it to you. How Jesus not just raised her from the dead, but then he's ministering to her afterwards. It's not over. The miracle's done. Jesus has gone off on the white horse and is never coming back. He's having her taken care of after she's raised from the dead. He keeps going because Jesus cares about how we're doing. It's not a one and done. That's the old evangelist thing. You blow into town, you blow in, you blow up, you blow out. That's not how Jesus did it. He stuck around. He helped. And the parents and the disciples, can you imagine the amazement? I think the disciples had a little bit more prep, right? Hanging out with Jesus a little, right? But could you imagine Jairus and his wife going, okay, what just happened? Your life changed. That's what just happened. It'll never be the same. You'll never be able to deny that Jesus Christ completely rearranged your entire universe. There's some of you out there, you need him to do that. You need to change your atmosphere. You need to ignore what other people are saying. You need to stand firm in your faith. You need to stop being afraid, stop being immobilized, and you need to clear the air and trust and believe God for an incredible miracle that will change life.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready for our trivia. First couple are going to be a little easier. Just get things rolling. This one's not difficult. Should not be difficult anyway. To whom did Jesus say, "Get behind me, Satan"?
Oh,
Jesus said that to somebody? Oh, no, everything Jesus said was roses. Roses and cotton candy and Skittles. Except Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Who'd he say that to? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. That is our phone number here. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483. That is the text that goes there. Also, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. So you can call in, you can text in, or you can call in, text in, or email in. Okay, I knew I was going to get this. Let's do our DNA real quickly, and then we'll go from there. Here comes our DNA. Get ready. We should have a drum roll, like for a DNA. Don't you think we should have like a drum roll? Something. We got to add something. Okay, there you go. That's good. I like it. Is it a long one? Okay, that's a good answer. Okay, DNA, D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. How often should we spend time with God? Daily. What did Jesus say? Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, that tells you everything you got to know. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready to
serve.
See, we got that in there because somebody was calling. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you draw closer to the Lord daily. You got to do that. Okay, this is the everything right ministry comes from right relationship. And Jesus demonstrated that by being connected to the Father before he was baptized publicly, before he started his ministry, and the Father said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." That's the demonstration right there, the example in Scripture. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. The world will try and shame you into changing, but the world has no heaven to put you in. And A, always be ready to serve, sensitive to the Lord, connected to the Lord, willing to love on other people, thus fulfilling, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbors, love yourself. Okay. Ready? Got somebody ready? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to? This is David. Who am I talking to?
My brother's name is David.
No, that's very good.
I think I didn't even have to look this one up. I think I remember that Jesus said that to Peter.
That is correct. Yes. Very good. You didn't even have to look that one up. That's pretty good because it's Peter had literally the mindset of not having Jesus go through the crucifixion process and be wounded for our sins. And Jesus is like, no. There's only one person that doesn't want this to happen and called it out right then and there.
That's right.
Excellent. Excellent job.
Good that he did.
Excellent job, my brother. I really appreciate it. Good work.
Well, I appreciate you on the air.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
I know.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you, too. God bless you.
All right. Cool. All right. There we go. Let's see. Did we cover everything? I think we covered everything. I can't remember. Was there something else? We did the web. I think we already did that. We'll do that later. Do the website in a little while. Don't forget to go there. It's just good for you guys to check it out, but we'll do that later. And then the informal poll information. Keeping that really close. Even T was like, "I bet it's this." I'm like, "I can't tell you." It's not that. I will tell her before I tell you guys, just so you can know. Just because she's, you know, she has to put up with it all. Therefore, she's entitled. She has an entitlement. I will tell you one thing, and then we'll get to the teaching. This just happened today. Really happened. Not a joke. I am not kidding. Nothing, you know. So I printed out a couple of things. I have like another joke and stuff like that. And so I decided to print it out, right? I get up. You got to, you know, we don't have a lot of contact here at the station. So it's, you know, it's easy to, you know, not think about your mask, but you got to put it on, so on and so forth. But I was looking for my glasses. No, wait. And I actually spent about 20 seconds moving papers. You know, my desk's pretty easy to understand. I mean, it's complex, but it makes sense, right? And then I realized not only did I have my glasses on my head, watch this, I was actually wearing them and didn't realize that I had them on my eyes, let alone on my head.
That happens all the time.
It's so, you know, it's like you think, oh, things are great. I'm this, and this is happening, and this is happening. And it's like, where are my glasses? They are on your head.
Right. The slightest forgetfulness is just like,
oh, my goodness. They're on my head. They're on my eye. Okay. Matthew 5:12. I'm just moving on from there. Here's something Jesus did, and I want you to understand the Sermon on the Mount. We've been talking about it, kind of bopping and bopping out, kind of fun. But Jesus said in Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. A lot of people don't understand that verse 12 is a theological shift, a perspective shift. Here Jesus is teaching, and keep in mind what Jesus taught. I mean, some people are like, well, he was reminding them of the Old Testament. It's like, no, that's not what happened. Jesus said, you have heard it was said before, but I say unto you, you had heard it was said before, but I say unto you. So he was taking things to a whole new level, giving a perspective shift for everybody. And here he does this incredible, incredible shift. He says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. That is a shift, and you have to understand what's going on. 2 Timothy 1:10, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus made it so that eternity is seizable and understandable. He brought life and immortality to light. In other words, it's kind of like when you're in darkness on something and the light goes off. Ding! Or you walk into a room. What do? You hit the switch. You turn on the light, right? Well, Jesus did that in regards to life and immortality. And it's through the gospel, through the good news that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again, all for our sins and for our relationship with the Father. And that by believing and acknowledging that testimony and surrendering to that testimony and to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you can become a Christian. Well, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, his big first intro sermon, is shifting all of the thinking, because everybody was living life seeing what they can get out of life. And Jesus came along and said, yeah, I want you to get out of life. I want you to get out of this life and think about the next life. It's not all about what you can or cannot accomplish in your 70, 80, 90, or 100 years here. At least let's give credit where credit is due. On the first line of Driven Purpose Life, Rick Warren writing, it's not about you. That's for sure. And in that same first intro paragraph, he said, your life is like a one quarter of an inch or a 16th of an inch on a scale of miles and miles and miles and miles long. This is a very short blip. And the long blip is what needs to be in focus as we do stuff, because everything you do for here will end here, except that which you lay up for the future, for heaven. And it's great. Jesus goes, hey, I got one for you. Stop thinking about just now. Can you imagine if you're in the audience, like, going, what? What do you mean? I got to pay my rent. Like, in 100 years, there won't be rent, but there will be you and God, and that's going to count more. Like, okay, well, that's a good point. It's a shift. And you know what? That is a very, very important element, okay, that we understand that Jesus has this shift, that the power and the presence and the anointing of God can intrude upon this planet and this sphere and this realm, because there's another realm of greater importance.
That's why it's so ironic when man tries to, you know, we're this and we're that. And it's like, not so much. Not that much. All right. I want to pray for one of our listeners. They texted in, and I'm not going to say her name, but she just needs prayer because she's having some health issues. Just want to pray real quickly for our sister, okay? So let's just do that fast. Father, we just lift up our sister before you right now, and she's having some dizziness, some brain fog, some disorientation. And we just ask you in the name of Jesus that you might help her, encourage her, help her not to be fearful in this very moment right now, but instead to be calm, just like you, Jesus, spoke to the water. You spoke to the waves to be still, and you spoke to the winds to be quiet. And we just pray that all the extra noise that she might be hearing, she would just be at a calmness, and that your lordship would be supreme, because you are Lord, and you are the Prince of Peace. And we lift her up before you and ask you to help her in some of the pains that she's going through and the disorientation. There's not a single person here who doesn't know what that feels like. It's very unsettling. We ask you to be her settlement, to be her peace, to be her rock. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And let me say something real quickly about that. If you guys ever have something that's going on at the moment and we can pray, why not? Why would that be a bad thing? I think that's a good thing. So I'm appreciative that she texted in and asked us. And you guys should feel comfortable. If you want your name or your information out, that's fine. But I won't do it unless you kind of give me that permission. Okay? All right. And then just finishing up, because we only got 30 seconds, is this perspective shift. This is the thing. In the world, you could never think that that would make a difference, even though the New England Journal of Medicine has shown in almost every case, I think it's 98% of the time, that prayer makes a difference, effectiveness for people who are ailing. Even though that's the case, that doesn't mean anything. What means something is that God invades our realm with his realm and makes changes. That's cool. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. See you at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
All of mankind destroying everyone and everything we find. He's the hungry giant.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Huh. Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle-age line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
You got points, me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong.